Thank you for the opportunity to present to the Housing Committee. In the press release announcing the commencement of the defective concrete block scheme, Housing Minister Dara O'Brien stated a scheme that has been developed that can and will deliver for all concerned. On behalf of homeowners, I will outline when the scheme will not deliver for all concerned, and that although there are some moves in a positive direction, government's refusal to genuinely listen means that serious flaws persist. In the public spotlight, government representatives appear compassionate, yet at the same time spin media stories which misinforms the public and undermines victims. They pledge urgent action and then miss every deadline. They promise meaningful engagement and then consciously ignore the lived experience of those affected, scientific evidence, deny pre-legislative scrutiny on the false pretence of urgency, dismiss homeowner legislative and regulatory amendments, and inexplicably reject zero-cost solutions which would bring much-needed flexibility to this rigid scheme. The Minister also talks about schemes evolving. This is government's second chance at getting the scheme right. And the only reason the scheme needs to evolve is because of the lack of political ambition to get it right this time. Furthermore, the way in which tens of thousands of victims of defective homes across Ireland are treated seems to be based upon their geographical location, the type and cost of damage, and how many seats their constituencies are worth at the next general election. This is now a civil rights issue, as those affected are not being treated with equality. The Leinster Pirates scheme removes all deleterious materials. The work funded is managed and funded by the Housing Agency, reinstating all homes on a like-for-like basis. The defective apartment scheme promises to be nationwide and cover all costs incurred. This is in stark contrast to the DCB scheme, which leaves behind deleterious materials, forces homeowners to become project managers, exposes them to rampant construction inflation, and excludes homes by county or type of ownership. All victims of defective homes find themselves in this horrendous situation for the same reason: the persistent failure of the state to enforce an effective regulatory and market surveillance system over the construction industry. To date, no operator has been brought to account by the government, and we recently witnessed headlines of the head of the NBCO declaring a national emergency in market surveillance due to a lack of resource. Although not exhaustive, the following underlines key homeowner concerns. The science. The DCB scheme for homeowners in Donegal is based upon an untested hypothesis as opposed to proven scientific research. In 2023, two independent scientific groups, Lehman et al. In March and Brough et al. In April, published internationally peer-reviewed research. They identify the high-risk aggregate phyllite was used in the manufacture of concrete blocks. The phyllite rock hosts not only mica but also iron sulfide pyrrhotite. Detailed scientific investigation reveals that oxidation of pyrrhotite causing internal sulfur attack is the primary mechanism of failure, not mica freeze thaw. Evidence from Quebec, Connecticut, and Switzerland proves that if iron sulfides are present in quantities beyond regulatory standards, it can result in the degradation of even poured concrete. All of this research was published prior to the commencement of the scheme, and the initial research findings were presented to this committee in June 22 before the legislation was passed in July. Yet the DCB scheme still uses IS465, designed around a mica freeze-thaw hypothesis to recommend remediation. To keep using this obsolete standard means decisions are based on solutions for the wrong damage mechanism. Options 2 to find retain defective, unregulated blocks in homes, and all options advise homeowners to build on existing foundations. Yet such options are not proven to be permanently effective against the context of internal sulfur attack. The damage threshold focuses heavily on visuals appearance, which may belie the deterioration of the concrete within, leaving homeowners locked out of the scheme and in limbo for years. It is inhuman to push homeowners to remediate homes without scientific assurance that the home will not fail again. It also raises questions about the responsible management of public funds, where hundreds of thousands of euros could be spent on a house destined to fail again. Failure to recognise and support homeowners in vulnerable and complex situations. How is it reasonable to ask a couple in their 80s, one with a serious illness, the other a carer, to deal with a demanding three-stage application process, strip down a beloved home, a demolition, a rebuild, and two house moves? How do a family with a disabled child who require a home adapted for wheelchair access move forward if it is impossible to find alternative accommodation? It is wholly unrealistic to think that two facilitators spread over thousands of effective homeowners and an engineer with a multiplicity of clients can provide the project management and support required. We have consistently asked for recognition of those in the most vulnerable and complex circumstances via the support of an end-to-end scheme, flexibility of side-by-side building, the provision of suitable alternative housing, or to be able to release themselves from this crisis via a transfer of eligibility, all of which has been denied. The finances. To distance itself from the central role of the origins of this crisis, government portrays itself as a benevolent body, carefully describing the scheme as a grant. To call it a grant scheme, which implies a partial cost contribution, and then declare it 100% is contradictory. Affected homeowners are exposed to the double whammy of a cost of living crisis plus double-digit construction inflation. Grant allowances are calculated on a basic build to pre-2008 regulations, no matter what year the house was built, to what finish or to what energy standards, despite the SESI recommendation that all construction should employ a minimum of current standards. In 2023, the SESI reported a 14% annual increase in construction costs, yet there is no recognition of increasing costs in the overall cap set way back in November 21. The government, in full cognizance of the issues around construction inflation, wrote the cap into legislation as opposed to regulations, knowing full well that that makes it very difficult to amend. To demolish and rebuild, homeowners in Donegal are currently being quoted between 205 and 220 per square foot, compared to the grant rates of 190 for the first 1900 square foot and 116 per square foot thereafter, up to the maximum cap. A current example of a homeowner is in a home of 1,250 square feet with a rebuild allowance of 237,000, but has a real build cost of 270,000, a shortfall of almost 33,000 euros. Government promised seamless access to the SESI energy schemes. However, it is not clear how this will work. And the Redress Finance Group recently testified to the Finance Committee about the highly stressful impact of shortfalls of tens of thousands of euros, cash flow issues, an unhelpful attitude from mortgage providers, and the lack of engagement from government with both financial and insurance industries. Once a homeowner passes through the scheme, their home must be fully insurable, mortgageable, and restored to full market value. It is clear that government has not conducted its due diligence with this regard. How can government assure homeowners of the validity of the certificate of remediation if the home does not have credibility with such organisations? Implementation. Not only what is done, but how it is done is critical. To date, 3 years of homeowners' experience in Donegal with the previous scheme have been fraught. A lack of responsiveness and information have unnecessarily added to homeowners' stress. It seems incredible that there is no overall project manager for a multi-billion euro scheme and no timeline set to respond to homeowners. I've literally got one paragraph. Could
you
I please?
Need other people's time. If you wish to do that, that's fine.
Chair, I'm happy to lose my time to make sure that the homeowners get to speak.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead then as well, please.
Thank you. The scheme needs to be based on the principle of 100% redress. The definite for a redress is to put right. That is to restore all affected to the situation that they should have been in should this disaster not have occurred. Remediation solutions need to be supported by scientific research which eliminates risk of further damage from deleterious materials. In the absence of certainty, a cautionary approach must be adopted and resourced immediately. If in doubt, take it out. The remediation must ensure the consequences of this issue are eliminated from people's lives forever. The finance needs to reflect true like-for-like costs. The scale and complexity of this scheme requires project management geared to responsive implementation, and not only the scheme itself, but also parallel positions such as alternative accommodation. None of the issues are insurmountable, but they will take a genuine listening ear from government, responsiveness and political determination to resolve. Thank you.